This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. Sustaining an injury to your brain can be quite traumatic at any age, and it can be the start of a lifelong disability. Treatment and rehabilitation for these injuries requires knowledge in a variety of disciplines in order to provide the optimum outcome. We'll hear with more on all of this as Dr. Claudine Ward, Assistant Professor of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation, and Dr. Bernadette Dunn. She's a Clinical Instructor for Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation, and they're both from Upstate Medical University. Welcome, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Dr. Ward. An injury to your brain can be very serious. Help us understand a little bit about that.
In terms of a serious injury, an injury to the brain could be either what we call mild or severe, but to any given person, it really is a severe injury in the sense that often we see a lot of changes with that injury. You can have, a blow to the head when you're playing baseball. You can actually be in a car accident and sustain, a larger injury with bleeding. And it really depends on how severe it is. But even with a milder injury, such as a concussion, you can see a lot of changes that could interfere with your day-to-day living.
And actually can have some longer-term consequences.
Yes.
As has been in the press so much of late, this whole idea of traumatic brain injury on a long-term basis really having very, very significant consequences over time.
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Dunn, no two people are the same, so every injury has got to be a little different.
Absolutely. We often say even in concussion, which is kind of the, one end of the spectrum of brain injury, that if you've seen one concussion, you've seen one concussion. Everybody's brain is different, and everyone has a different reaction to that injury depending upon the area of the brain that is injured. We can see people who have a similar injury who have significant deficits in terms of thinking processes and their ability to function in daily life, and other people who've had what would be considered a larger injury and have sometimes fewer deficits. It really just depends on the area of the brain that is impacted by the injury.
So it really is a very unique type of injury.
It is.
And unpredictable in that sense.
Unpredictable, and I think the people inherently have different brains.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people who, you see football players who have, injury after injury, and they're able to walk off the field, where you may have, you may have a grandparent who took a small spill, and that had a lot bigger impact on their life than the football player.
What are the kinds of challenges, though, in general, that you see people with brain injury face?
There are a variety of challenges, anywhere from the physical challenges that people have in their everyday functioning, their ability to perform even simple tasks like bathing, dressing, their mobility and walking, to very high-level deficits in terms of their ability to multitask, to pay attention, to their memory.
Recall, things like that.
Exactly, all of those types of...
So as complex as the brain is, you can have all these kind of complexity of problems and
mm-hmm.
subtleties of problems.
Absolutely.
So there are stages of treatment in this kind of thing, right? And I know when someone is first brought to the hospital, help us understand, Dr. Ward, what happens when someone first comes in, generally, with a traumatic brain injury, either a car accident or something that, as you said, a blow to the head in some way?
Well, 75%, luckily, are what we call mild brain injuries. And so the majority of people are coming in through the emergency department. Some people present to their primary care physician if there are more subtle changes. But the people that come into the emergency department, obviously our emergency department physicians and staff are really concentrating on, is there something emergent that needs to be taken care of? So some people might get imaging of the brain. Some people, they're just going to watch and make sure that they get better and give them some education on what to expect. If they have a more severe brain injury or something what we call moderate to severe, most of the time they're going to be admitted at least for observation. And at that point, you're really looking to make sure that there isn't a bleed in the head, or if they're having a lot of severe symptoms such as headache that we need to give medications for. So that's how it's really started. And then with the more severe injuries, you're going to see a different cascade of options depending on what we're on how the symptoms are manifesting.
So if they require either surgery or some kind of intervention and have to stay in the hospital, that's the initial phase of their treatment. But if they have sustained a brain injury, what follows that kind of experience? What happens to them after the crisis part is over?
That's a difficult, well, again, because everyone is different. What part of what makes this, what we call it an invisible injury, because it's not like you have a broken bone where you're wearing a cast and everyone can see it. So it, particularly with mild brain injuries or concussions, you can be walking just fine or talking just fine, except you may be struggling at work because now you can't look at the computer screen because it's really uncomfortable. You may be having headaches. So that person may get better on their own over time. If you have someone with a more severe injury, you might have to keep them out of work for a little bit. You might have more motor control problems, like Dr. Dunn was talking about, where you might actually have weakness on one side that might require more physical occupational therapy. We also have speech therapists that come into the mix. So there are a lot of team members that we really rely on, particularly when people don't recover as quickly as we'd like them to.
So let's assume this is a person who's got a moderate to severe injury, mm-hmm. Just for argument's sake. There's a very large, you just alluded to a lot of disciplines involved in that kind of rehabilitation. And you both are rehabilitation physicians.
Yeah.
First, help us understand, what is the team like and what is the role of the rehabilitation physician within that environment, both inpatient and then outpatient?
Well, in an inpatient setting, typically what happens to folks after a traumatic brain injury in the hospital side is initially they're being managed by maybe a surgeon or a neurosurgical specialist on the medicine floor of the hospital, and then typically we'll be consulting on that patient. We'll see that patient initially and evaluate what their needs might be. We'll start to work with all the other team members, even on that initial hospital floor.
So are you the kind of quarterback, in a sense, for a person with a sustained traumatic brain injury? Is that kind of what the rehab physician does?
Yeah, and essentially the rehab physician is sort of the head of a large team that encompasses therapists, psychologists, other professionals, physicians that are involved in brain injury management, a whole host of individuals.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Drs. Claudine Ward and Bernadette Dunn. We're talking about brain injury, what needs to be done, and the team that is part of this whole process. Well, there's a subspecialty of some kind. This is something new to me, called brain injury medicine. What is it and what does it mean? Tell us about that.
So brain injury medicine is a relatively newly recognized subspecialty. This first boarding exam was actually this last year, but people who've specialized in brain injury have sort of been around for a long time, but they've never had an officially recognized board.
And there's only a few people who have been boarded, so-called, in this country at this
point.
Yes,
very few, around 300.
Okay. Yeah. And both of you are part of that group?
Yes. Yes.
So what is different about doing brain injury medicine as a subspecialty of the rehabilitation role that you've played? How has your role changed, if at all, or what is this new training brought to you?
Well, the new training is basically, I think, like I say, a lot of people have sort of practiced this in the past as a large part of their practice, and now they're officially recognized for that practice. Typically, people who practice brain injury sort of within the scope of rehab medicine lean more towards a practice that encompasses just brain injury patients, a variety of brain injury patients. Dr. Ward sees a lot of patients in more of an outpatient setting that deal with concussion and mild brain injury, but also follow some of the patients after they leave the hospital that have had fairly significant brain injury.
So if you were to follow someone, and Dr. Ward, in a rehab facility who sustained a significant brain injury, what would you be doing for them? In other words, what are the kinds of things as a brain injury physician would you be offering the patient?
Well, I'm going to go back to your other
sure.
question. So with our training with physical medicine and rehabilitation, we all have training in brain injury medicine. The part of the reason why there was a push to make this subspecialty certification is that there's a plethora of changes that you can see following brain injury that most of the time we hope go away, but a lot of times are persistent. And it's very...
Give me an example of some of those.
For example, there's a lot of neurobehavioral changes. So mood disorder, you can see agitation following a brain injury. You can see even neuroendocrine changes, so you can see changes in their testosterone level. And just like any other specialist, the recognition is really important because it can change their outcomes. So
different treatments.
Absolutely. And so the reason this specialty came into being, just like, let's say, spinal cord injury, where there are certain changes that we expect, and everyone's different, but at the same time, it's the recognition of those changes and our ability to know what, you know, the evidence base for the treatments are to guide that person in terms of the different team members and who would they benefit from seeing.
So in addition to being kind of the quarterback for this multidisciplinary type team with someone with a significant injury with persistent symptoms, let's say, somebody who either on an outpatient basis in a rehab facility or at home needs to continue to gain care, some kind of therapies
right.
and variety. So the brain injury medicine physician or the physical rehab physician would be overseeing their care from the medical standpoint and also function as an advocate. I mean, tell us some of the other things that you would be doing in that role.
Yes, and so in general, our specialty really looks at a person as a whole person. And so, yes, we are concentrating on the consequences of the brain injury, but we're also looking, how does it affect their daily life? So are they having difficulties working? Are they needing to change their vocation because of it? But also really looking, also thinking about school. You know, if they're having troubles in school, we'll actually contact the school and say, let's think about academic accommodations. So there's just a lot of things that we do in terms of even workers' comp, working with that system and saying, you know, we really need to help this person out, and this is what we're seeing, and this is what we recommend.
So, Dr. Dunn, you educate, you advocate, and you also work with the community.
Absolutely.
To help these patients.
Yeah. We try to be very involved in the community, and there's a lot of community outreach and education that's important for the prevention of brain injury, but also to help people be aware of the deficits that people with brain injury may have, to be able to...
make accommodations, understand...
Exactly, perhaps, exactly.
Help them with their overall... rehabilitation.
Quality of life. It's all
and
about quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you both so much for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Claudine Ward, Assistant Professor of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation, and Dr. Bernadette Dunn, Clinical Instructor for Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Upstate Medical University. Very enlightening, helpful to understand, especially this new subspecialty. Very,
thank you
very
for having
interesting.
Us. Thank you.
This is Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.